I am a spirit in a spiritual body, living a spiritual existence.
Imagine yourself under a starry sky, around the warm glow of a sacred fire, where speakers gather to share their wisdom and insights. Creating a sacred space where all are welcome to warm their hands, here are your hosts, Caitlin Stormbreaker, Sarinth Odinson, and Jim Two Sneaks, discuss spirituality, mythology, animism, and culture around a virtual sacred fire.
Welcome.
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 Welcome. Won't you join us around Grandfather Fire?
Welcome, welcome, eldest ancestor, welcome, welcome, sacred fire, welcome, welcome, holy spirits, welcome to our fire, welcome, welcome, holy ancestors, welcome to our sacred fire. Welcome to all who came before. Welcome round the circle mound. Welcome, welcome to the gods from every reach of earth and sky. Welcome to our sacred fire. Welcome where the spirits lie. Welcome where we make this fire. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Around Grandfather Fire. You're listening to episode number 105, the beginning of the fifth season of Around Grandfather Fire. I'm your host, Jim Two Snakes, joined as always by my good friends and co-hosts, Caitlin Stormbreaker and Sarinth Odinson. How's everybody doing tonight?
Five seasons, man.
Five, I know it. Five. Right?
What the hell?
Right?
I know it, right? It's like crazy.
People are still listening to us?
Hmm. In ever-increasing numbers, it turns out.
I know awesome. It.
Thank you.
I know it. What astounds me even sometimes more than that is that we have people that are part of our Discord community that haven't even necessarily heard the show. It's just we've got such a good community. That blows my mind as well.
Yeah, I do find that incredibly amusing. It's like, yeah, no, so-and-so told me to come over here because you guys are a really great community, but I've never heard a single episode of the show.
Right?
I honestly... I that really tickles me. I know for some podcast hosts that would rankle them. Like, why are you here if you're not listening? Like, nah, we're here for community.
No. Yeah, no,
podcast is an extension.
Great. Yeah, I'm like, I'm just glad you're here. Thanks for coming. That
does not bother me at all. I think it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So how was your guys' holidays? Mine was good. We had good family time, good downtime, good... figuring out of things and working on others, but
yeah, after a month off, yeah, it's kind of wild that we're back like this. It went really well. It was our holidays were quiet, which is kind of how I like them. You know, we just spent a lot of time around the house, relaxing, getting caught up on shows, reading, just, you know, downtime is so necessary.
It is, absolutely. That's kind of similar to what ours was pretty much downtime, minus the day and a half trip back home for Christmas with the fam. But other than that, it was just relaxing. I mean, even that was relaxing, too. I mean, there's no real big obligation to my family. It's just like everybody come together, eat some food, give some gifts to the kids, and then we all go home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that kind of relaxation, I watched my usual, you know, three or so variations of A Christmas Carol. It's funny because as a pagan, and I don't even like Christmas, but I could every year I have to watch about three versions of that movie. So
that's awesome.
There's something about scaring the fuck out of rich people that really appeals to me.
Tis the reason for the season.
I mean, It's just a good reminder that, hey, Christmas isn't about corporations right. and spending money.
No. But real talk, which of the various Christmas carols is your favorite?
So, you know, it's funny because there are different aspects of all of them that I think are really interesting because various different directors' choices and stuff like that. So, like, you know, for example, there's versions that go, like the one with Patrick Stewart goes a little bit more into Scrooge's personal life a little bit, right? Like why he became like he was. The George C. Scott one is a classic just because of his presence is so amazing. But some of the old black and white ones are really amazing too. Like something that gets missed in some of the newer versions is when Scrooge is alone in his room and the doorbell starts to ring. One of the movies makes the choice of having him go over the window, and his room is around the corner from his front door, so he can look out the curtains at his front door and see no one standing there while the bell is ringing, which adds an extra creepiness to it, which I like a lot. So there's a lot of directions that story takes, which are can be really fascinating.
See, I personally love the Bill Murray version of that, but it's just called Scrooge. Oh,
Scrooge. Yeah, of course. Of course. That's
my version that I watch every year.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. It's a toaster. Bitch hit me with a toaster.
The bitch hit me with a toaster.
I have to say, probably one of my favorite depictions is by Alistair Sim.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And probably like neck and neck between that and the Muppet Christmas Carol. It's probably one of the best and most faithful retellings. But yeah, kind of just depends on what I'm in the mood for. And right. Sometimes the black and white version just has this, I don't know. It has something to it.
Exactly. The Sim one. And then the, Sir Basil Rathbone, I think, is another one, which is good. I think.
See, when I was a little kid, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I landed a role, quote unquote role. I had one line of the theater version, the stage version of that story. And ever since then, I've preferred the live show of that over watching the movies because the air and the energy of it is different for every production. And the nuances of it are a little different and everything, but that was the coolest thing to me was just being on stage and terrified to say my one line as like a little pauper girl, but you know,
I get it. I was before I had some things pop off when I was in high school, I was actually going to be Fezziwig in the Scrooge, I think is the musical. Yes, Scrooge. And if you've never seen it, Scrooge is a really great musical. I think they made a movie out of it a couple years ago. Probably like 20 years, 30 years now, because I think the 90s are like 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah, no, the 90s are definitely like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. Somebody told me it's like, no, that's 30 years ago. And I'm like,
yeah.
Wow. Jesus. Yeah,
I started watching that 90s show on Netflix. I'm like, I'm way too old now. Yeah. It's crazy. It's
yeah. As soon as I saw it drop, I was like, that's not going to happen. I'm not doing it.
Nope.
Mm-mm. It's actually really funny, though.
Is it?
I've been pleasantly surprised with it. They did a really good job with the casting, especially Eric and Donna's daughter, who, of course, is named Leia.
Of course.
I can say nothing.
And
you have no idea how much I tried.
And then Eric is a college professor now teaching the religion of Star Wars.
Nice.
So I mean, there's like some cool stuff in there. They actually did a really good job. Oh. So how about you, Sarah? How was your holidays?
My holidays were pretty good, actually. To be perfectly blunt, like every holiday season, I worked a crap load of overtime, whether I wanted to or not. So I worked like 5 straight overtimes for multiple weeks and was like, well, that's great. This is Yule and Christmas money. This is Yule and Christmas money. Oh my God, I want to see the end of this.
Right? I know it.
But the actual
white knuckling it through every work day.
Oh man. Like something. Okay, like my job, very oftentimes, at least for the midnight schedule that I work, is a lot of me watching grown men sleep. So unless something pops off, it's very boring, which is good. Boring is good, at least at work. So I get a lot of, this is where I get a lot of reading done. This is where I get a lot of writing done. Okay, fine. No problem. But I go in for afternoon shifts, and that is when the patients are the most active and have the least amount of programming.
Mm.
Which means that's when the most amount of shit pops off.
Right.
So and the thing is, like, some of these guys have been separated from their families and they got kids and there's all that stress. And I'm like, I'm feeling for them. But at the same time, could you stop beating the shit out of each other, please? Just for a hot second.
Yeah, like, what you're currently doing is not helping your situation at all. I understand you're angry, but...
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, work doesn't turn into a brawl that often. But when it does, it's like, oh, shit, here we go. So
I'm going home with a black eye today, aren't I?
I mean...
Fuck.
Pretty much, you just walk in and you can smell the air and it's like, ah, shit. You don't even have to look at anybody. You just... Yep, fuck shit today.
Christmas spirit my ass.
So, you know, work was on and off difficult, but I work units that a lot of people don't, because I tend to jive with the patients who go off. I don't know. So overall, up to the holiday season, it was pretty chill. The holiday season itself and seeing family was awesome as always. We got to see both sides of the family this time, in part because my mother-in-law finally kind of embraced her ambiguous paganism and fully embraced the her mother-in-law's celebration of Yule on the 21st. So we actually celebrated a kind of a secularish Yule. The really nice. Funny part was they had me lead prayer. So that's why I said secular-ish. So that was really cool. It was great to see them. The gifts were amazing and the food was awesome because my father-in-law can cook. We've had a lot of health issues over the holidays. So like a lot of challenges brought themselves to the forefront. And, so the holidays themselves, like I said, they were really excellent. It was great to see family. Lovely to see the kids get along. And, don't know if I said this before, but we have a new dog in the house. So that's been really fun since the 13th of December. And
yes. And yeah. I love him. And puppies. He's just the sweetest. And if he ever disappears, he is not at our house.
You better fucking not.
But he loves me so much.
He really does. Like, oh my God. It's like he loves people.
He does. We're so sweet.
We couldn't have asked for a better behaved dog. Like, he's done a little bit of chewing, but he's a puppy and he's teething.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, we got him at 2 months. He's going to teeth. It happens. He's been doing really well with the pottying inside the house. We can't get him to go outside yet because it's just too damn cold and his fur is too short. So every time he walks outside, he's like, I want to go back in now. This is cold.
Yeah, a new project for Silverleaf might be a jacket for him.
We can't get him to go out. We got a jacket for him.
He's just like, nope.
No, it's too fucking cold. What are you wrong with you people?
Get little booties for him too, so that his feet don't get cold.
That's a fair point. I probably should. They will look adorable on him anyway. But he's got some monster fucking paws, so we might have to look around. Like, he has grown at least 3 times in size since you saw him.
Plus, you have to get a video of the first time he's wearing them with the high steps.
Those are always great.
I will totally farm my dog for TikTok content.
Hey, other people do it. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Most of the Instagram people I follow are just pets.
Nice.
Right? I mean, you got to have some social media that's not drama.
You do?
Well, I mean, there's a cat that I follow that the majority of her videos is her laying on the floor begging for food, just rocking her food bowl.
Oh, I know that cat. Yeah.
Zoe. And then she'll look over her shoulder at her mom. Okay, no, she's not looking yet. Start rocking the bowl again. and look back and go, oh, she's looking, and get up and start like rocking it big time, and then looks back and is like, oh, she's not looking anymore, and then lays back down and starts rocking the bowl again.
Yep. I've seen that video or those videos on TikTok. So
yeah, I like my Zoe.
That's awesome.
She a big girl.
Well, speaking of our community, I want to cover a couple things really quickly. As always, thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. And you can support us on Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee, where we're on both of those platforms, or, you know, spread the show. Tell people about it, post about it. You know, give us a good review, because it does help with the algorithm. And if you look in the show notes, there are a couple links that you can follow to leave us a voice message that we might use on the show, or to suggest a topic or a guest. But, you know, we depend on you, our community, for so much, and we appreciate it. So I think we got to start off the year with going through the roll call. So we've got all our wonderful Tinders, and jump up to the spark level. We got Aminon, Indy, Katie, Dashvend, Melkor, Alyssa, Ladina, Marco, Amanda, Honora, Boomhouse, Kim B. Nolan, Eleanor Faithful, Douglas S. Pierce Books, and Jeremy Kindling. We've got Mother Multiverse, Janessa, Malik, Nick, Jane, Kunyan, Jean Kavanaugh, Mock, and Cammy. At our flame level, we've got Victoria, Amanda H., and Branadov. And for Blaze, we've got Kirk Thomas. And thank you all for all that support via Patreon. We really, really appreciate it. And for those that are interested in what our upcoming shows are, we're still scheduling a lot of them, to be honest. We've got feelers out to a lot of people, but I had one land just yesterday. So if you are one of the levels that can come to one of the live chats, or if you just want to get some questions ready, we next weekend are going to be interviewing Janine Canty, who is the author of Returning the Self to Nature, Undoing Our Collective Narcissism and Healing Our Planet. And Janine is the professor of transformative studies at California Institute of Integral Studies. So that's going to be a really awesome guest. And I'm looking forward to asking some really good questions there and getting some from the audience. So feel free to participate. If you're on our Discord, you can drop it in the questions channel, or of course you can email us or follow that link in the show notes.
Yes. Thank you everyone for supporting us in whatever way you can. It's wonderful to hear from you and have you listen to our show. I mean, we're 5 seasons in now, and it still blows all of our minds that we're still doing this. We're still talking into our mics about the shit we know, or talking to people about the shit they know. And it's so wonderful to be able to do this job, and I love it. And I love you guys. I think this is probably the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. So glad to be here. Glad to have your guys' support and just glad.
Yeah, I love you guys too. This is a great show, and I love our community. It's amazing. We've got so many people that just constantly blow me away with how much they know and how much they care and how much insight they bring to the conversations, and just approaching things from angles that I might not ever have thought of. And it's so powerful to me. So,
and if we manage it, some of you people will be drug kicking and screaming on the show as well. So keep that in mind. Right.
Like I said, we don't have a lot of stuff planned yet for this season. So I might be volunteering a few of you. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, even the way that I structure things like guided meditation have changed drastically since I started this show. Exactly. Back in December 2020, when we interviewed Dr. Martinez about aphantasia.
I keep coming back to that over and over again. Whenever I write something or think about something, it's now always in my mind. How do I present these to people whose approach is different than mine? And how can I be more inclusive in the things that I do?
That episode has changed my perspective on this so much that I now rankle when I don't see other forms of, integrating sensory information into guided meditation work. or just different forms of guided meditation in general.
Yeah, that episode has changed so much about how I interact with and talk to people in the world as well. I mean, I have a player character in my D&D group who has aphantasia. So while I'm telling the story, I know they're not picturing what I'm saying. They're just listening to a good story. So I try to write it in a way that is enjoyable for them, but also still descriptive and ensuring for the rest of the table as well. And I always check in with them at the end and is like, was that okay? Did you understand what I was saying? You know, we go over notes. Yep. Like, they're my best note taker at the table too. So
We
compare notes back and forth, and I go through their notes when they're not here. Like, okay, I got to make sure I got this right and make sure I got this right and kind of thing. And, I put things in the game for them to physically interact with. So like, they're coming up on a festival soon. So we're going to have dice games and card games that the players can actually play at the table.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So
that's really cool.
Yeah. It's really changed the way I look at, role-playing games and stuff too. So,
I mean, like, and it's not just aphantasia. It's like a lot of different aspects of the neurodiversity that I now think a lot more than I used to. And so like, if you're one of those people that has a different way of looking at things than I do, like if I'm doing something, if I'm running a ritual or re-leading an event, or if we're doing something else, or if I'm talking about meditation or who the heck knows what we talk about on the show, like if you have suggestions, you got three people that are extremely open to this, because I think this is a great conversation to keep putting out there. Like, you know, different approaches and different ways of thinking about things. I think that just makes it enriches the entire community when we can have those discussions. So like, if there's an episode where somebody says something and you're like, no, have you ever thought about approaching it this way? Send that to us, because we will definitely look at that thing.
Or if you know an expert in the field of neurodivergence or any of that whole area, or, you know, recommend them to us if you want them to be on the show. Because one of the things about this season that I know I want to do, I don't want to speak for my co-host, but is to branch out a little bit more into what we talk about in the opening. You know, we talk about books and comic books and TV shows and stuff like that. So I want to broaden our spectrum, if you will, you know, bring more things into the fold of what we talk about. So
good God's
right.
Could you imagine if we could get Grant Morrison or oh my God, the fucking wizard. What the hell is his name? Come on. He didn't need for Vendetta. Thank you. Alan Moore. God's stupid.
Well, I mean, like even last season when we, you know, we had the Jungian psychologist on, we had the physicist on, like, there are a lot of things.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that relate to spirituality that aren't just quote unquote spirituality alone. And I'm willing to talk about all those different topics and any of those people that might be interested in coming on the show. It's like, because to me, it's just interesting. It's a chance to learn and talk to people. So,
Well, I mean, like I think that this is something we've talked about at great length on this show about how our spirituality hasn't really hived off, and we've all taken lessons from fiction. I mean, you've talked about the works of the Invisibles, I think it was. You've talked about all the various different stuff. I mean, I think I've talked about some of the stuff that V for Vendetta was a big thing for me, both when the movie came out and when I eventually read the actual graphic novel. I have gleaned a lot of lessons from fiction. One of the earliest books that I read was Chronicles of Narnia and then Tolkien, and that sparked a lifelong love of learning and reading. Like I was enough of a geek that I asked my parents to go get that red book that had translated all the Elvish runes and stuff. I used to pass notes with my friends in middle school and high school, you know, so.
Yep. I mean, I've even quoted a couple times on the Discord things from some of Sanderson's different books. Brandon Sanderson. I just got done with the fourth book of the Stormlight Archives, which is like amazing. I love it, and it makes me, because of the way he sets up magic systems and hard magic and spirits and how he portrays the different spiritual realms, it gives me a lot to think about on how we approach magic. And, you know, like just the very concept, like we talk about how so much of our spirit interaction is filtered through our minds, right? Like spirits interact with us, and then we, a lot of times, are applying the visuals or the voices or whatever. And it's based on that memory bank in our head, right? So a lot of the spiritual communication filters through our brain. But because of Sanderson's novels, I was really thinking about the other day, like, imagine if we were walking around and we were clearly communicating, but there was just this big blob of unfocused energy floating around, changing colors rapidly, getting distracted. Like, as an analogy, what if that's how spirits see us? They think everything's all neat and orderly, but we are just hot messes of floating colors. Like, from their perspective, how are they, like, oh God, I got to communicate with that. How am I going to pull this off? Okay, let's try this.
From that perspective, a lot of spirit kidnappings and things like that, or having to marry into the family of spirits, makes a lot of sense, because you got to get ordered like they are, not the other way around. Or maybe the other way around, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know. It was just making me think about that a lot, because in the Stormlight Archives series, they're going to like a spiritual realm, and humans can interact with the spirits, and the spirits take kind of a human form, but they only take a human form because a lot of them are beings that are based around human concepts like honor. Where, as Terry Pratchett says, you can filter the universe very finely and you can't find one molecule of justice or honor. So necessarily in the spirit world, they kind of reflect the humans a little bit, but then objects which have their own spirit, like the spirit of a tree in the realm of spirits, they might appear as like a glass bead that just reflects all that bead contains all of the tree's thoughts about itself. Which is, I don't know, it's really wild. It's made me think about how I approach stuff spiritually a lot differently.
Yeah. I just got finished reading this really academic, well, not reading, it was an audiobook, but I got finished listening to this audiobook called How Forests Think by Eduardo Cohn. I hope I'm saying that correctly. But this doctor was like doing a bunch of field research with the Runa Puma people. The Runa people of the, they're Quechua speaking people in the Amazon. And some of the stuff they were talking about is very relevant to some of the things that I've heard you both talk about as part and parcel of being Papa Masayuk and all that. And it really kind of like twisted my head around the way we actually form language, kind of taking from inspiration from that blob of stuff that we then filter down into something that we can relate to. And I find that entire process itself fascinating. Now, the book is in places dry as hell. And sometimes following the citation format in an audiobook is a bit hard. But I kind of just take it up. I don't need to know the sourcing, because when I read books like this, I hardly ever check the bibliography out first or second go. I'm just trying to absorb the content of the book. It's really good. It's really, really good, because it talks about how they relate to the forest. And it's also reified through colonialism, history, and all the various factors that led up to his ethnographic research and what it meant for him to be there, and some of the experiences he had, which from their perspective were clearly shamanic, and he was trying to translate into an academic. It was really fun watching him struggle with it.
That's because he's like, because
he's seeing it from the inside out as opposed to the outside in, because he wasn't doing that kind of ethnographic research. He was literally just hunting with these folks and living with them for years. So he's inside the culture now, and he's like trying to translate this into academic speak. And it's real difficult, because the Runa people have words that, depending on inflection, sound, and quality, mean different things. Oh, and yeah. It's very, like, some of the words are very onomatopoeia. And, like, tuk-tuk is, like, it can be teeth biting something like a turtle shell, or it can mean tuck tuck, meaning it's you shot the poor jaguar in the face with a shotgun and now it doesn't have teeth. So just watching, well, not really watching, but like in my brain, watching him struggle with that was really kind of fun, because that's always been my biggest issue with academia and culture and religion and everything. Like all these nebulous things we're trying to pin down and get into some kind of order. Right. It really resists that because it's got its own internal order, whereas academia is trying to shove this shit in a box that it doesn't really fit.
We've got to define this so it can never change, and then we can base papers off of it.
Pretty much, yeah. That's really funny.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, if spirits, like, you know, we talk about aura colors here, like, if spirits just see us as floating blobs of color, and it's like, I'm just picturing these two spirits, like, what the fuck is that, a rave over there? Oh, no, that's just a meeting of ADHD wizards.
I mean... Oh, God, what is that blob of light in their hand?
I wonder sometimes if ghosts react to us the same way we react to ghosts.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, if they're like ghosts and spirits in a place that haven't had people in it for a long time, and then all of a sudden a person appears and they're like, what the fuck is that? Holy shit. And that's why you hear like running through the house, like disembodied, because the ghost is running away from the person.
I mean, that, or maybe they just don't, you know, maybe they got social anxiety and they just wanted to be left the fuck alone in their house for the next 500 years.
Yeah, like, rude. You walked into my hovel, okay? That's why I yelled, get out. I'm not a demon, okay?
You're rude. I'm agoraphobic. Get the fuck on.
Yeah, right. You didn't even knock or bring food. What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. You guys are rude. What was the Nicole Kidman movie that it was like that? It turns out the main characters were the ghosts. You know which one I'm talking about?
What the heck is
that name of that movie?
I don't know. You said Nicole Kidman, and I like rotated through a bunch of... You're not talking about The Sixth Sense, are you?
No. There was
The Others.
The Others.
That's it.
That's such a great
2001.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was like 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, right. Like just yesterday, practically. Just brand new. Only 22 brand new came ago. Out of theaters.
Yeah, I'm totally still a freshman in high school.
Well, it's funny because like my son's birthday was a couple days ago, and I sent him a text message, you know, and here we are, we're Lower Michigan, it's January and mid-January, and like all we were getting was a light rain, temperatures in the mid to upper 30s, and I'm like, it is so weird to me to think that 23 years ago when you were born, the snow was so deep that we couldn't have gotten to the ambulance or the hospital if we'd wanted to. Mm-hmm. We were snowed in that night by a massive snowstorm, so it's like, yeah, this is a little different. Something's not quite right here.
Yeah, it is really weird to kind of think about that, because I remember snow growing up on my birthday almost every year, mm-hmm. and now we're lucky to get rain. And the day I was born, thankfully, my mom and dad were already at the hospital, but there was a blizzard outside. And it blizzarded the entire day. And they were telling people, do not leave your house.
Oh, wow.
You know, and people couldn't come visit my mom in the hospital for like a day and a half because they couldn't clear the roads. They couldn't even go mm-hmm. home.
Even as far back as, when I was still working at the other place. So about 8 years ago, we had that big, big, big snowstorm blow through and just bury everything. I got stuck at my client's house because I was doing home healthcare at the time for 3 days. And I just remember being there and being like, wow, no one's coming. It is just you and I, dude. And that's a really interesting feeling. And we don't really get that anymore here because it's either just really cold and wet or it's dry and cold, but it's not like it's raining anymore.
Right.
It's not, it's very odd.
Well, we got a little bit of that bomb cyclone that everybody else got. And then, like, you know, 3 days later, it was gone because everything had warmed back up. And it's like, this is weird for January.
Oh, this is utterly bizarre. I was used to big snowdrifts when I was a kid and making dinosaurs out of snowdrifts with my brother. So, yeah. This new normal is fucking weird.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, I'm born and bred Michigan person. I might not like the cold, but I need my snow. I need that weather change. There's just something about the necessity of snow. And like, I noticed it when I moved out here, even before I moved out here, because my husband and I started dating in November. And so when I would trek out here on the weekends, I would watch the snow disappear as I came out here. Whereas, you know, 2 hours west of here, we would have like knee deep snow. But once I got here, there was nothing. And so I thought it was just a product of living further east than where I was at. But now that I've been here 7 or 8 years, and I talked to my brothers and I talked to my sister-in-laws, and I ask them, you know, you guys got snow yet? And they're like, well, you know, we had a couple inches a few days ago, but it's gone now. We don't really have much for snow at all. And I'm like, that's not right. I mean, I remember years where the lake would be frozen over for like several weeks. And now it barely ever freezes all the way over anymore. So there's something. I mean, it's changing. I don't like it.
Yeah, I know it. Me either. I'm with you. I don't like snow, but it's like, you know, I'd rather see kind of nature return to its proper balance than.
Yeah.
So I think with this new season, one of the things I'm really looking forward to, kind of pardon me as I drag the conversation down a new segue.
No, go for it.
All the opportunities we have to share with other people, both in terms of like what I'd like to see more. Kind of in that vein we were talking earlier, was I'd like to see more of our community members step forward and share their experiences, whether they're experts in a field or not. Actually, in some ways, I'd prefer not, because I think that hearing from just the people that are in the community is a really important part of all this.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
That would be a really fun episode.
Well, what I think it's nice too, like, yeah. And it doesn't even have to be an entire episode. Like, I'm just thinking here that if there's like, there's people that are on our Discord or might listen to this show, and you've got something that's been really important to you spiritually, and you've always been struggling with, oh, I don't know if I could make a book out of it, or I'm not sure if it should be a blog entry, or I don't know what, like, if you don't know what to do with it, but you do kind of feel like you want to talk about it, hey, maybe we all should talk about it. Maybe it's just one really important story or revelation or a little bit about how you got to where you are, but it doesn't even have to be a full episode. If you just want to come down and share with us and do a little sharing of, you know, pagan spiritual people, the pagan spiritual people, I'm open to that. It does not have to be the full interviews like we always do.
Conversations with pagans.
It doesn't even have to be, like I said, we've got it. There's a link on our site and in the show notes for Anchor FM. You can leave us a voicemail. Like, so if there's something that you really want to talk about, you really want to share, you don't even have to be on the show with us necessarily. If you leave it as a voice message and ask if we think it's good, we'll share it. Like, you know, let's open this up to the community.
Knowing us, we'll probably discuss it. So,
right.
We've done less with jumping off points from the community. Like,
it's very true.
Yeah. Well, and then always the benefit of our show is always that the whole reason we started this was to kind of go with what interested us. It does not, we've done a lot of interviews, but that doesn't mean we have to do interviews.
No.
We can take this any old direction that we want to, because we're just, you know, doing it for ourselves and for our listeners. It's not like we're making a living off of it. We don't have a network to please.
Yeah. Right. Although. Yeah.
Although if you want us to listen,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we won't say no per se, but you know. So I actually have a
an interesting question for the two of you. You know that I'm not a big fan of the New Year's resolution things or like, you know, the idea of like, I'm going to set this impossible goal for myself and then, you know, fail within 3 weeks and go through that whole like cycle thing. So with that being said, what is something that you two are looking forward to for yourselves this coming year? It doesn't even have to be like one thing, but is there something that you're interested in working towards, something that you're interested in letting go of, something either spiritually or not within your lives?
You know,
I can I guess... go first because I have an answer to my own.
Oh, go ahead then. Yeah.
To help you guys out.
Go ahead.
So in the yogic tradition, on the summer solstice, a lot of yogis or yoginis, the male and female version, do 108 sun salutations on the summer solstice.
Oh, cool.
So I am starting to work up to being able to do 108 sun salutations on the summer solstice. I have done it once before, like 5 years ago, and worked up to that within like a month. So I'm giving myself 6 months to get there because I definitely don't do yoga as regularly as I used to, but I'm up to 9. I can do 9 all at once right now. So I just got 100 more to go.
That's awesome.
But another part of that is, and kind of going back to your further or earlier conversation was like how spirits usually communicate with us is the only time they'll actually speak through my ear is when I'm not paying attention to the other signs that they have been giving me for a long time. Their messages usually manifest within my body through different pains or aggravations, or like I'll get like I have certain signals from certain spirits that they'll like make my hand itch. My left hand itch is for a specific ancestor, or my ear will ring when the certain deity is trying to get in contact with me, you know? And so this is kind of a way to get me back into a better relationship with my body and that understanding of I am a spirit in a spiritual body, living a spiritual existence and kind of using yoga as that pathway, which is why I've dedicated myself to this 108 sun salutations on the summer solstice, which, mind you, a single sun salutation has like 7 different poses you go through for one. Yes, that face.
Yeah, that's,
it might
that's
actually be more than that.
So approximately 756 poses to do 108 in a day.
Yes.
Good luck.
But the culmination of that. So when I actually approach that day and set my intention is the energy that I'm releasing will be sent to somebody who needs it. So when I did that originally, I set the intention for the energy to go as healing energy to my sister-in-law who was battling breast cancer. You know, and you end up in sort of like a meditative state to where you're not even really paying attention to what you're doing. And you may receive messages, you may have a vision, or you may just be like sweating profusely going, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to fucking die. I'm going to fucking die kind of thing. But you're not, you're going to be fine. You know? Yeah. It's a lot of work and it's a big undertaking. And
that's intense.
I'm enjoying it. I love it.
It's pretty amazing though. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So that's what I'm working for in my next 6 months.
That's a big goal. I like it though.
Yeah. Hey, what do you know? I got to aim high because otherwise I'll be disappointed in myself, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for the new year, I talked about it the last show. I just kind of want to work the land a little bit more. So I've been thinking a lot about what do I want to plant? You know, what kind of new trees and shrubs and other stuff do I want to plant? Going into, you know, years before I've been wanting to get a little bit more into gardening, but I spent so much time doing the the spiritual coaching, now I've taken that off the burner. It's like, okay, I might have enough time now to actually maintain a small garden. So I've been thinking about that a little bit more. Spiritually, I've been getting back into doing mantras and getting some mantra work done and using that as a way to kind of like reconnect to a few things. Cause I really reduced my spiritual practice down, and I'm kind of taking the approach of, well, I think I saw a quote that summed it up really good the other day, and it was Meister Eckhart, who was an old theologian in the 1300s, something like that. And the quote that resonated with me is, if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. And so I'm kind of approaching my whole spirituality that way. Like, who am I? And it does not necessarily have to involve big, huge rituals or anything else. It might, but at the same point in time, I'm really kind of trying to settle into a who am I and what do I want to do sort of phase. And it's been kind of refreshing at the same point in time. And then it allows me to go back and, like I said, take a lot of inspiration from fiction and that sort of thing. And so that's kind of where I'm heading. I'm also struggling to learn Italian because I've always wanted to know another language, and my wife and kids are interested in learning Italian. And I'm interested because of how much just knowing another language can change the way you think about things. And even though it's a romance language and some of the words are not very distant from English, still it's the challenge of thinking about things a little bit different way. And, you know, I got to tell you, at 52, my learning centers are not as active as they once were in certain areas. So it's been a bit of a struggle, but I'm muddling through and trying to have some fun with it. So I'm kind of set that as a goal as well. How about you, Seth?
How about me? Well, one of the things I've already done is I joined the Troth this year.
Oh, that's right.
There are things that I want to see change in the organization, but I can't do that from the outside. Mm-hmm. I think that the organization is a good use of my time, especially since they've lifted the Loki ban, and the attitudes regarding worship of Jotnar are definitely, there's a sea change that has occurred within the Troth, and I felt like I could finally join because of it. Now, there's stuff in their mission statement that needs to change. There's stuff in their bylaws that need to change. But I know that they are actively working on these things because I've talked with the steer. I've talked with some of the folks behind the scenes.
I really commend you for that, too, because as we were talking about in another format, a lot of times with paganism and neo-pagans and heathens and stuff, it is a tendency for everybody to try to reinvent the wheel, not because the wheel needs reinventing, but because they want their name at the top of the organizational tree. And, you know, I think sometimes we've just got to knuckle down and say, this isn't an ideal organization, but I can change it from within, or I at least need to have some cooperation on certain fronts. And that's not saying that you're going to run out and join some place that's totally awful and that you completely disagree with, but that does mean that, as the saying goes, don't let the perfect get in the way of getting something done. So,
well, like the thing for me too, is like, it's not just, I went out to join the Troth because I think that I can change it from the inside, but it's also like, the stuff the Troth has been doing is worthy work. I wouldn't be talking with Lauren Crow. I wouldn't be interested in getting to know not only the folks on the High Reed, but also individuals who are within the Troth, I find at least enough of my views comport with theirs that we could do something really cool together as opposed to apart. And I've watched way too many people try to be the Troth and utterly fail at it, either because they don't have the organizational acumen or they're pieces of shit. And so I just calls it like a sees it. So that's one thing that has definitely changed this year, is that I finally joined the Troth. I have to wait a year and a day to do any of the stuff that I would like to do, like the esoteric program, the clergy program, and things like that. That's part of why I looked at the Troth to begin with, was because they had all these things back when I was a little newbie heathen back in 06, 07. But I love Loki, and they had a Loki ban. And I was like, well, if he's not welcome, that's a no-go.
Right, right.
So them changing that policy, and they're starting to relax their issues with Jotnar worship and everything else. They're bending in a way that I can go, okay, now I can join this. And yeah. I feel a kind of sadness that I've had to wait so long, but I've had principles that I've stuck to.
Exactly.
Because of that. And to a certain degree, I think I have stuff to offer the Troth just as much as the Troth has stuff to offer me. But above and beyond that, the other things that I'm working on for this year, I'm going to be continuing to work on my book, but what I'm not going to do is set myself the impossible goal of writing 4 or 5 of these fucking things in a year, which I did last year. And it was like, no, you're going to burn yourself out. I'm also going to be trying to be okay with a slower pace on all of that, just in general, and devote more time to actually relaxing, whether it's during my breaks at work or whether it's at home. A lot of my spiritual practice has more or less remained the same, but there are things that I'm integrating into it now, such as work with the Ginnunga Gap itself. And just doing mantra work is becoming a bigger part of my practice as well. But I'm trying to see where I can bring it into heathenry as opposed to trying to make myself fit into another modality that
I've
tried and I just can't do it.
So yeah, I've been okay.
Try galdering your mantra.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing. So like I'll sit in the shower and I've got a playlist which has repetitive music, and I will galder Ginnunga Gap's name over and over and over again until I merge with it. And it's fucking wild. The shit
I've been trying to work on a mantras for Eris and Veles and a few others. So yeah, I understand. It's an experimental process.
Yeah, that's very much what I think this next year for me is gonna be, is an experimental process. I'm looking more at working with bind runes.
Hey,
my partner's gotten me into doing like body tattoos and stuff like that with, like the body tattoo markers that you can get from like Amazon. Mm-hmm. Those are a lot of fucking fun.
That's real cool.
So a lot of this year just looks to be like equal parts, increase the relaxation, but increase the experimentation and just kind of see where I stretch.
Mm-hmm. You looked like you were starting to say something there for a minute, Caitlin. We were talking about organizations and that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, no, that thought is done gone.
It's gone now.
For a while. But actually, what you were talking about, Sarenth, with bind runes is something that I kind of forgot that I did share with the community, but I will share with you guys as well. I know our poor listeners won't be able to see it, but I literally put Freya's name on my arm in ink. It is fully there. I have fully and completely dedicated myself to be in her service and be her lady, as she likes to refer to me as.
Thank awesome.
You. I'm not totally sure what that kind of work is going to entail, but that is another area of what I will be working on throughout this year.
I'm so very it's kind cool. of
like, we'll see what happens.
I get that. I really do. My heart goes out to you. And I'm also really incredibly proud of you for taking that step. That's a lot. And that is, her ladyship can be equal parts demanding and not. And it's almost more hard to deal with a god when they're not being demanding because you get used to a pace and then they're like, no,
yeah,
now you rest.
Or they get you to a pace. And at some point you realize that they're not right there over your shoulder anymore. And you're like running and you're like, do I keep running? Where are you at? Where do you go? And then you
Where's
do
my
like
pacer?
The tumble fall. And then they come over and pick you up and is like, why the fuck did you stop?
You stop for a minute and they come over the hill like Michael Myers.
Oh no. They come over the hill like Usain Bolt. Let's be honest here.
No, I
love
it. I appreciate the hell out of that.
And some of the work that she wants me to do is through bind runes, because I have come to the realization, no matter how many times I beat my head against the brick wall of trying to use runes as divination, I guess that's something I just have to give up on because it's not for me.
My magic is not in reading them as divination. It is through working with them as bind runes, which makes is why sense. I have her name in a bind rune on my
arm. Yeah, completely legit. Definitely.
Before I forget, I want to put this out there because bind runes are on my brain. And I ran into Dyad Paxton a couple of years ago at Con. I think it was the last year before Con just shut down for 3 years. And one of the things that she talked about in her healing runes class was making bind runes out of the verbal forms of runes. So like combining Ansu's and Berkana would involve saying them separately and then merging them in certain places where you could turn it into a mantra. Like if I was combining Ansu's and Berkana to be Ansu's Berkana, Ansu's Berkana, Ansu's Berkana, Ansu's Berkana, Ansu's Berkana, Ansu's Berkana, and then just merge it into a bind rune. Now she was using threes for the most part, which I like and I dig. But it's just something I wanted to bring up before I forgot it again.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I grooved on it when she explained her method for that.
Yeah. That sounds really cool. I think that's a big step, Kaylin. It really is.
I'm apparently taking a lot of big steps this year. So,
I mean, you're doing dedicated work with Freya. You're doing 108 sun citations. Oh, we recalculated. You recalculated.
Yeah, you said I was there are 12
wrong. Poses?
There's actually 12 poses in a single sun salutation, which will equate to 1,296 poses total in 108 cycles. So.
My response being looks askance at Yggdrasil, like that looks simpler.
I don't know, hanging from a tree for 9 days and 9 nights.
Can I count the times I stretch as getting out of bed? Is that a sunset?
I made it out of bed today. We're doing great. That is my spirit practice. Sun salutation number one.
I mean, to be fair, I will probably break it up into three segments over the course of an entire day because of my age and my current athletic ability, you know, so I don't actually kill myself.
Yeah, please make time for water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, I'll try. We'll see if I have time for that day, you know. Hey, don't give me those eyes.
I love you.
I'm taking a break.
I will bring you a fucking gallon of water.
Actually, you know, Sarah, too, the whole you joining the Troth this year kind of makes sense in a way, especially the having to wait for a year. There's something kind of poetically beautiful about the year of Aon having to be the year that you wait.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's a really good point. And that was actually something else I wanted to touch base on because that's been a big thing for this year. Because we did the Year of Aon ritual at my home and fucking loved it. Josie baked, I talked about it in my blog, but for those of us who either TLDR or whatever, Josie baked this amazing Aon man and we each put things into him that we wanted to let go or to rebalance in the course of the Year of Aon. And then we literally ripped him apart and put him in the fire. And the funniest goddamn part of it for me was watching Matt be like, I want the dick.
it's true. It happened.
I swear to God, he is the straightest man I've ever run into who wants the dick that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wanted the D real bad.
It was a
wonderful gathering. It was a beautiful ritual. The work we did together as a group was awesome. Thank you for hosting again. But yeah, I'm so grateful to Rune for bringing this to our attention, you know, as heathens, especially. And it's just, I don't know. It's excellent. I'm excited about it.
The thing I like about it is we can weave it through all of our rituals through the year.
It's not throughout the entire year. Yeah. This is a year long ritual basically.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just have to be in terms of the wheel of the year for whatever that is for you. It also can be, hey, I'm bringing this into every little ritual I do. For myself, when I go out to Crossing Hedgerows, I'm going to be bringing that year of Aon energy with me because it's not enough to just be like, well, I want to rebalance this year. Okay. And the practical effect of that is what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said,
what about this year? What about this year? Do you want rebalanced?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it makes sense because in my mind, you know, the poetic simplicity of it is spending an entire year on not only rebalancing and refreshing, but on gratitude. And then you'll carry that forward as your first official year in the troth, which makes perfect sense, really, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that makes a scary amount of sense. I did not even register with that. That's fucking hilarious. Alan the old is dead. We have ripped him apart and burned him. And now this,
it really does make sense.
That makes a scary amount of sense.
There are no coincidences.
No, none. And the thing was, we started off the year in my house. We had the very first of the year was a Dionysus ritual, where Jason and I brought blessings to the community through the Toys of Dionysus, because we've both been initiated into some of that work. And that was really, it has already made changes in the community, like even the next day, which was really fun to see. But it's also one of those things where if you really ask the spirits with a clear heart, hey, will you come help me deal with this? They will respond almost every time. And if they don't respond, there's a reason for it. And that is an equally a powerful answer for you. And as far as spiritual consultation and spirit work goes, I very much feel back in the saddle. I was feeling very tired at the end of last year. And even with all the overtime I've had to work this year so far, and there's been a decent amount of it, I very much feel like I'm back in the saddle. I think that we started off the year right between the Dionysus ritual and the year of Aon, and everything just unfolding the way it has been kind of the way it has to be. And I don't feel like I'm fighting against the current anymore.
And it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that you willingly decided to put several things down.
Right.
Oh no, that's a really good point. So something came up in the year ahead divination with Jason. Jason did a 12-part reading for me. Seriously, if anybody ever has like wants to do a year ahead, go talk to Jason. He's amazing. He's one of our mods on the Discord, for those of you who don't know.
And Luck Magic Falcor there from two episodes ago.
Right. God, was that only two episodes ago? It feels like
we took a month off.
Oh, that's true. when Jason laid the cards down, I thought I had to go through another Odinic initiation. And it's like, no. No, you fucking don't. I had a follow-up reading where it was really brought to my attention. Hey, this is your ego talking. And it really kind of made me sit back, and I'm going to have to go over that divination session again, but it really made me sit back and go, okay, this is something I'm going to sit with and sit down and actually like ponder outside of the cycles I had trapped my head in. And I had gotten that reading previous to the year being over, and before I had done all that work on myself and what I'm going to put down and how I'm going to do it. So like with the resolution this year, isn't so much a resolution as just it's not a resolution in terms of like I'm gonna lose weight or no, it's more like being resolved to, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like I am resolved to being gentler with myself. I'm resolved to putting in the work where I can, when I can, but not having to be so go, go, go. And fulfilling my obligations, of course, but not putting more on me than anybody's requiring, and realizing that at least some of the pressure I was feeling is my own damn skull.
Right. I get that. I think that's kind of where I'm landing at when I was talking about working on the land and on myself and that sort of thing. It isn't the whole, you know, a lot of times in the spiritual community, you see stuff, you know, about working on myself and shadow work and that sort of thing. And, you know, I'll always remember like one of the biggest compliments I ever got about my spiritual practice was that, that I was very solid in my sense of being Jim. And that's kind of where I want to get back to. It's a lot of, you know, putting down things that I was carrying around that I wasn't necessarily using or I'm not comfortable with anymore. And the approach that I often used to give with when I was doing more of the coaching was to tell people to, you know, you approach spirituality from where you're at. So sometimes just being a really good, authentic you is the most spiritual practice that you can have. And I really kind of feel like that's where I'm kind of aiming for with this year is like how to get back into what is my authentic practice, if that makes sense. And I've also, but strangely enough, been getting called a lot lately, like even though, you know, you're talking about the runes, Caitlin, and as magic as opposed to divination, strangely enough, I've been feeling really called lately to get back into doing divinations for people. So that's something I might have to explore as well. I've done a lot of rituals for other people, but getting back into doing some divinations might be fun. I've been thinking a lot lately about a deity confirmation spread that I made a couple of years back. And it was like, it was a spread for deity identification. And I don't know, I just feel like that might be a good one to do for a few people here and there that people have questions about what they're dealing with and if it's a deity or not, or which deity is it, that sort of thing. So that's something I've been contemplating a little bit as well.
I definitely think the wider community could use something like that. Just seeing the amount of shit that goes around on social media.
Well,
but also, you know, just people where people are at a lot right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, like one of the things that the spread that I came up with is actually broken down into two parts. And the first part of the question, the first part of the spread is a question that most people are not asking that they should be, which is a deity at all? Is it a deity at all that I'm sensing? Because I don't think people appreciate how often they might be sensing an ancestor, another sort of spirit, their own shadow, their own internal communications, you know, Jungian psychological models, whatever you have them. But I think that's a question a lot of people fail to ask right off the bat. And that's the first part of that reading.
Well, and I think because the way our society is set up and the way a lot of us are raised, sometimes that spirit or being that you're feeling is yourself, because your spirit is so left of center outside of your body that you feel something going tink, 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 tink. Hello, let me back in the house. I want in there. And because it feels like such a big entity to you, you automatically think it's a deity, but really it's just yourself requesting permission to come back.
Precisely. Yep. And so, you know, I've been thinking about that spread a lot lately. Maybe I should offer that here and there. I don't know. We'll figure that out as I go. I don't want to, it's one of those catch-22s is it's something I want to do, but I don't want to put a huge amount of time in it. But if I don't tell anybody about it, nobody will know that I do them. So it's kind of like, where's that fine balance at in there?
I mean, you could say you have, X amount of readings that you want to do per month. And once they're full, you'll have to wait until next month's booking.
That's a good approach. That's a good approach. Very practical.
Three or four a month. And once they're booked, you're done. And then the next month, three or four.
Yep.
Move on.
I like that. That's very practical.
That's why I do Sundays and Tuesdays.
There's that too.
It limits my availability, but it also gives me office hours.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that. I could do three or four a month. And when the slots are full, the slots are full. And I don't, you know, like, I feel like there's an importance for reciprocity there, but I don't have to necessarily make it a
paid,
put in your credit card information sort of thing. It can be like, yeah, here's my address. You want to mail me a gift? You want to send me a goodie basket? You want to buy me something off my Amazon wish list? I don't care. Here's the.
Or buy me a coffee, you know?
Right. Exactly.
So, oh,
that's one of the things that I got into this last year. This Loki pendant here made out of bone. Mm-hmm. So I participated in the Skith Blathnir's Yule Exchange for the first time.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So like I cannot tell you what it's like to get like little things in the mail like this. Yeah, that's really cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool for you.
So something I've been playing around with a little bit. Actually, that kind of leads into, we didn't get a heck of a lot of listener questions. You guys either think we've answered them all already or
you're just really tired of hearing us talk and want us to talk to other people instead of each other.
We kind of hit already the question of are there any goals that you wish to hit this year as groups mm-hmm. or individuals. The next part of that question though was, how do you see this year panning out? Which I feel like is a loaded question.
Yeah.
I don't even pay attention to that. I used to fret about trying to plan and control every little minute so that I knew exactly what was coming down the pipeline. Now I'm just like, fuck it, here, universe, and lob something out there and wait and see if it comes back. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't. And if it does, it does. And cool, whatever. And I'll just take it all in stride and keep going. That's what I feel about.
I'm very confident and will very confidently say that I have 100% accuracy in saying that in this coming year, some good things are happening and some bad things are going to happen. And that is, I don't know what any of them are going to be, but I can tell you there'll be some of both.
That's a very well-rounded answer. You hit all of the possibilities.
So I actually think for me, the overriding thing is still going to be the year of Owen. I hate to sound like a broken record, but this is the good and the bad of the year of Owen, as I see it, is we've been on this podcast have been telling people, get with your communities, start mutual aid networks now, talk to each other, get shit rolling. Mm-hmm. Now is metal meets the meat. The year of Owen year is shit's changing. Change mm-hmm. with it or don't. Mm-hmm. That's your choice. I very much look at this year as being a great rebalancing, whether you want that or not. We're already seeing that in terms of egg prices.
Right, yeah.
The best time to have gotten chickens was yesterday. Tomorrow is probably the next best. It's not to say that there's no hope on the horizon and that shit is just going to keep coming downhill, but shit is going to keep coming downhill because that's how gravity works. Mm-hmm. So if you know what your personal situation looks like, if you know, hey, these are the challenges I've got in front of me, now is not the year to ignore them.
Right.
But it's also not the year to obsess or fret or get yourself into an anxiety spiral over either.
Right. I think that's really good advice. Cause I mean, thinking about what I'd like to do this year with a little bit of gardening, right. So I'm not going to be able to have a huge garden that supplies all our needs, but am I going to be able to have enough to supplement and maybe do some gifting? Yeah. If things come down in such a way where I have to depend more on that food, I'll have it. If I don't, then I don't. You know, it's one of those things where it's a win-win either way. And what can I do that's going to be satisfying for me out of it at the same time? So I don't think there's a huge amount. It's hard to avoid anxiety and stress and worry.
Our entire economic system is predicated on it. Yeah,
exactly. But you know, the same time, it's if you go to bed at night worrying about all your problems, you wake up the next day tired with the same problems. It's not actually
funny. It sounds like a passage out of the Havamal. There's literally a passage in there that says exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen a couple of different interpretations of it, but yeah, that is definitely one I'm familiar with. So it's. You know, I agree with you. With this year, you know, there may be good things happen, maybe bad things that happen, but that's sort of life, isn't it, in a way? And
mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that has been a point of rebalance in my family is my grandfather died. And I'm okay with talking about it. I knew it was something that could come up on the show. My family had the option of ripping each other to pieces, like every family does when a family a major family member dies who's been a linchpin in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can come together and go, okay, now what? How do we do this? Mercifully, what our family decided to do was come together and provide him a proper send-off. And we got to let him go on his own terms. And it was his choice. Nobody pushed him. You know, we've got some strong personalities in my family that want to see things done one way or the other. But in the end, his wishes were respected. His needs were met. And he was able to let go and join the ancestors. That for us in the course of this year is going to be a big rebalance, because Grandpa's always been there. Like, he is a truck. He's always been with us, and he's always been somebody that I could talk to. He's where my love of walking in nature comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And my usual practice with dead relatives is to not speak their name for a year.
Yes.
So they can get used to being dead. So that's going to be a little harder with him. But it's necessary to me that I keep that tradition for my own sense of balance and for his, for the integrity of the family. But this year I get to recognize all the places where he has touched my life. And instead of being completely racked by grief, I can approach it better because I was able to say goodbye to him. And he didn't, like, my paternal grandfather died in Arizona after having lived there for like 15 years because the cold up here was just too much for him.
Mm-hmm.
Going down to see him was an impossibility when he passed. You guys were both here for that.
Yeah.
And the only way that I got to see my grandpa was, mercifully, my cousin had Google Meet at the time. And so I was able to say hi to him and say goodbye to him and tell him I loved him. And he was fully aware. It's one of the blessings of being there physically with my grandfather is I could look into his eyes. I could see that he recognized I was there. And I got to watch and feel and experience him pass. And that is a blessing that will stick with me through the rest of my life. And I can bring that experience to other people. Because I've worked with the dead before. I've worked with the dead for most of my life. I've worked as a funeral home assistant before, but there is a defined difference of being able to take the experience of your grandfather passing and providing reassurance to your grandmother because of that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because grandma doesn't have much experience with the dead. I was able to explain to her, no, this is normal. This is what happens when a person passes away. Even in that, I was able to offer some rebalancing. And so, like, the year of Aon, as it weaves through the year, the rebalancing it offers may be very subtle, or it might be incredibly overt, but it hits you in ways that you're not expecting. And I'm going to, like, miss physically visiting my grandfather, but I think one of the things that I take as a point of joy out of my religion is, sure, he's dead, he's going to be in the ground, but that doesn't mean we stop talking. I mean, but that's something I carried over as a Catholic too. Like, having talked with my parents about this, and, you know, I mean, we have the succession of saints, but you also do pray to your dead in the Catholic tradition. Mm-hmm. So there's no end. It's just a continuous back and forth. And I love that. That's the kind of beauty I want to walk in this year of Aon of, yes, Aon was a terrible ancestor, and we need to carry that with us, that lesson. But he's also an ancestor. So the rebalancing isn't just about him. It's also about us and our relationship with and to him. So, yeah, that kind of stuff is really on my mind right now. And that, I think, that rebalancing in many subtle and overt ways, both in terms of society and our personal lives and everything in between, that's what I'm looking at for the coming year. You know, so if I had to give any advice for the next year, radical rebalancing in many ways is what you should look forward to. Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be radical per se, because that can be kind of an extreme word for some people. Yeah. I know it is for me.
Yeah, I get that.
But just seek, you know, even gentle rebalancing, you know. And I know I talk about like the physicalities of the body a lot, because that's where a lot of my perceptions and my spirituality and everything comes from, is through the body. But that's because I was disassociated from it for so long that I think that's part of that lesson there. But it struck me while you were talking about being able to be present with your grandfather while he died. And it got me thinking about the moments when I was around another being who died, and that has always been animals. One of them being a very a beautiful horse that I loved for many years. We had to put her down several years ago, but I actually helped her spirit leave her body when she was dying. And we put so much space between the living and the dying in so many subtle ways in our world now, that it has only done to increase our fear of death itself. I think the further we separate ourselves from the act of dying, from our family members passing away, from, oh, well, they're sick, they're not going to die yet, I'll get there as soon as I can, these are the things that I need to pay attention to, I have work and a house and kids and blah, 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 blah. And like, I understand all of that. But having the opportunity to walk into their room, wherever they're at, whether they're in hospice at home or in the hospital or in a nursing home or whatever, go there, take that chance, sit down, look them in the eye, connect with them. And I guarantee that loss will be just a little less harsh, just a little less. You may not think it is, but it is, because then you'll have the reassurance of, yes, they saw me. Yes, they heard me say that I love them and that I miss them and will miss them and all that stuff. But I think, and I know the three of us work very hard to bridge that gap and make up for the mistakes, or the the change in how we treat our sick and dying over the years. Nope, it's gone, sorry. Train of thought just totally burst into flames and blew up.
Must have said what you needed to say.
Mm-hmm. Apparently it was like, nope, you're done.
I kind of agree. The idea of radical rebalancing, yeah, I can see where that word might be a little weird for some people. I think I've maintained one of my core beliefs is that we are best when we seek balance, but we only grow when we're out of balance, because it's those challenges. So I would say that, you know, the way I look at it is if everything was the, you know, a seesaw, if you need to look at it, the places you're radically out of balance, and then walk it back to the center, because that's where the growth is. You go, you grow on those outer extremes, or the potential for growth is at those outer extremes, but the real growth is when you walk it back to center. So I think, like, where the easiest way to look at it is, where are you the most out of balance and how can you walk that back to center? And it's not one of those things like, because that gets it in my mind, that gets us out of the mentality of these things are bad, we need to get rid of them, we need to eliminate them from my life. No, just how can you walk them back to center? Because that's the process where growth happens.
I would 100% agree with that. And a little addition I would like to put onto that is, just because you bring that aspect back into balance doesn't mean that it is exactly where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yet. You have time to work on it. So
you're in balance, you notice these things are out of balance. So you go and engage with them and you bring them into a semblance of balance. Sometimes you have a lot of moving parts as a person. Mm-hmm. So you mm-hmm. can move this piece over here that is very badly out of balance a little bit forward and then let it set because these two pieces are in balance with each other. But then you have to go over here and work on this piece and bring that piece in right, to be a little right. more balanced. And then you have yep. to go over here and move this piece in, but uh-oh, this piece over here is unbalanced. So it's kind of a puzzle in a way mm-hmm. to kind of move things around and keep things in a semblance of balance. But just because right. you get it into balance doesn't mean it will stay there.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely. It never will. I mean, there's no enlightenment or perfection that lasts forever. It just doesn't work that way. And it doesn't also walking it back to the center doesn't mean that you got to bring all the bad stuff with you. It's just a recognition of where you're out of balance, where you're too far out on the plank and you're throwing other things off. And so you need to walk back towards that center a little bit and rebalance. And so, you know, just by the very act of rebalancing means that sometimes I'm going to have to come to the middle and put my foot a little bit on the other side, actually, even to find that balance. So, you know, it's that sort of process that I tend to think about. I just, you know, like with the Caro traditions, getting rid of good and bad and just using the language of heavy and light makes a huge difference for me because it takes so much of the air quotes moral values off of it. It doesn't make you a bad person because you're out of balance someplace. It means that you're just out of balance and it's something you should work on.
Yeah. There's nothing bad about it. It's just heavy right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you need to move
too
some
much
of that
weight
stuff.
In one place.
Yep. You just got to move some stuff off to the side to bring that piece back into balance.
Mm-hmm.
That so reminds me of fire and ice, the way that those two interact in the heathen cosmology, because without the extremes of fire and ice, without Muspelheim and Niflheim being on either side of the gap, creation doesn't get started and it doesn't maintain itself. And the first river doesn't flow. But, you know, water doesn't flow unless these two meet. And you can't live in the river. You can't live in fire. You can't live in ice. You got to live in between all those things. And that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. We're constantly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I really groove on what you said. I got thinky thoughts spinning now. Thanks.
Thinky thoughts. The episode's title, I think. That's it right there.
Yeah, this has been a thinky thoughts episode. That's for sure.
I guess one last question then. Any highlights for 2022 now that we're officially in 23, looking back as our as individuals or as a group, any highlights that you really, really enjoyed in 2022? And like one of my big ones, the first one that like immediately came to mind was actually taking a vacation and going out in the middle of nature and just spending some time reconnecting with land and family and everything else. That was definitely one of my highlights of 2022 and something I'm hoping to replicate again this year.
I know a lot of people are probably sick of hearing me talk about it, but talk about it more. One of my biggest highlights of 2022 was actually allowing myself the space and capacity to engage with my passion surrounding writing and every aspect and every form, whether it's I'm sitting and watching a television show or if I'm reading a book, I'm in that writer's brain and I find so much joy and elation and curiosity over thinking about the story than I do actually watching the show. Like I'll sit there and I'll wonder like, that's an interesting character choice. I wonder why they did that. Or why is that in the shot right now? Is it relevant later? Like the whole Chekhov's gun thing or like
oh, right.
going through and learning about plot and characters and story elements and just like getting lost in the brainstorming process with a new story or on the story I'm working on and that kind of stuff. And I love it, you know, and it's been such a wonderful gift that I've been able to not only give my adult self, but also my child self. Because, you know, as a kid, you had those passions, you had those things that you could talk about for hours on end and annoy the pants off of your parents because you just talk for 3 hours about this one thing. But that has been, it's been a very healing journey for me around that kind of thing. And having that sense of, no, it's okay, you can do that. And I've actually adopted a new sort of mantra, I guess it's a mantra, for when things get very challenging for me, because I do still butt up against that imposter syndrome, or that I'm not good enough to do this thing, or the story is garbage, right, or my writing is right, garbage, or, you know, this kind of thing. Is I was watching a YouTube show, and I think it was a little kid that originally started it, but it was like a TikTok or something that was floating around. But he was doing something, he was getting frustrated, and then he closed his eyes really tight, threw his head back, and he goes, "I can do hard things." And then went back to doing the thing. And so whenever I get to that point of like the initial spiral, as soon as I catch it, I just close my eyes and I throw my head back and I'm like, "I can do hard things." And
I love it.
It's so far working. And it just makes me laugh because it's like I'm a little kid stamping my foot going, "No, you're wrong. I'm right. I'm doing the thing." And so that's one thing I'm incredibly proud of myself for doing. That's really and cool. Yeah, that's it. It's your turn, Sarinth.
I think one of the big highlights for me was coming out of taking a break into and reevaluating how I was literally valuing my rune readings and making the choice to increase the price was like a really hard thing for me to do, but I'm glad I did it. It was something I've been hemming and hawing and reevaluating how to restructure my Patreon was something I've been like, oh, I don't know. But starting that and then carrying that kind of energy through the year of, okay, I'm going to value my time this year. It made a big impact throughout the whole year. Because not only was I pushing myself to value my time and energy, but it was my first full year in the house.
I was going to say,
and the
house is probably tied into that somehow or another.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And being able to just be in the house and really settle in and just enjoy it, as opposed to, I've got all these things I got to do. That was a big deal. The other big highlight this year was, both my sets of my parents and my in-laws really came in the clutch because our heating system, our HVAC system, completely shit the bed.
Oh no.
And they came in and said, "Nah, we got you. This is for the grandkids. This is for you." They helped us take
it. Isn't it great?
My gosh. Like, it's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And it's also one of the most fucking infuriating things that's ever happened to me.
Right. I'm telling you.
I'm so happy with this fucking house, but if shit could stop breaking for 5 seconds, that would be nice. I have been working I started working with DTE at the start of the year because the power in the house bit it hard and it killed the oven and a whole bunch of other shit. And I've just been, this last year has been just like, oh my God, can we please get this fixed? And I hate working with insurance companies. We have excellent insurance providers. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I enjoy State Farm a lot. I've been a customer for almost all 18 years of my life. But, like, just the interface sucks. Like, please walk me through this like I'm stupid.
However, if State Farm would like to sponsor this show, you can email, too.
Like, don't get me wrong, like my actual agent has been amazing. It's just the apparatus of insurance is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, no, it's definitely designed that way, too, because they think you're going to give up.
It's been a year. I haven't given up yet. Give me my fucking money.
No. Yeah. I'm a bulldog. I don't let go of that shit. I'm sure my insurance gets tired of hearing from me sometimes.
The other big highlight was our daughter going to school. Mm. I did not realize how much of a drain on my mental resources that was. But holy shit, it turns out having a four-year-old around the house all the time when you're off is a lot.
It turns out, actually, that people think toddlers have a lot of energy and adults don't, and that's not true. The toddlers vampire it out of...
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You need to do a Skeksy and just eat that shit, guys. Like, just take your little child and go, give me your essence.
Ever been in a store and been completely tired all of a sudden? That wasn't that person's emotional turmoil. That was their toddler. They just got you.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Dementor sucking the energy right at
you. That little bastard knows how to do elf shot and she's not even able to take herself potty. God damn it. So that's been the other big thing. Like just seeing our daughter hit milestones has been a huge highlight. Her going to school has been a huge, huge relief. Like I was like, oh, can we get out of winter break so she can go the fuck back to school, please? Like, and it's not that I don't like being around my daughter. I love my daughter 100%. And I love my son, but goddamn, I would like to reclaim my time. Thank you.
Yes. Please go away for 5 minutes and don't go stand outside the door for those 5 minutes either.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 5 minutes?
I love you.
Is it 5 minutes yet? Is it 5 minutes yet?
Jesus Christ, let me shit in peace.
Yes. Yeah. All been reasons there. Why I never wanted children.
That's legit.
I got myself and now...
So, I mean, the... My son is 17, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, Kiba is 17 years old. What the fuck?
Oh my God. I'm fucking old.
Right? Feel old with me.
Jesus Christ. The fuck happened?
Got old. The funny part about being a relatively young parent is being close enough to his age to see the generational shift and be near enough to it that you can keep up with most of the trends and talk his language. Cause you get some of these parents who are like 20, 30 years removed from their kids and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And he'll trot out some meme he thinks is obscure. And I'm like, oh,
no, I saw that 2 weeks ago.
Right. Like you sweet. Hey, you guys, child.
You've accidentally stumbled across. I just realized my 2023 goal here. You guys kind of accidentally summed it up for me. Instead of being the wandering wizard, I'm going to be the wizard that's out in the middle of nowhere. And, I don't know. I was picking apples and all of a sudden I was in this, there was this tower and this wizard and I don't know what the hell happened. And that's going to be me.
Goals. I'm
gonna
be out here
nowhere. Someone's going to, my goal is to sell eggs by the roadside and freak people out with a divination in the process. There we go.
Hey, you know, the speckles on that egg mean something, right? Here, let me just connect these into a binder for you.
Step into my labor. I mean, shed.
Jesus.
You know, the other day, I was sitting on the couch and my iPhone decided it was time to update. So I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever, fine. I'm not really fucking doing anything anyway. So I plug it in, it does its little update thing. And I pick it up when it's done and I start looking at things and I get to my home screen and I'm just looking at it and like inside me is this seething fucking hatred and anger because they changed something. And I can't quite put my finger on it, but it is definitely different from what it was before. And I sat there and I was just mad about it.
Yeah, yep, yep.
And then I set my phone down and I'm like, oh my God, I'm that lady from like years ago messaging her son, bitching about him changing the logo on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you change the Google's logo? I liked the way it was. Mom, I had nothing to do with that. What do you mean you had nothing to do with that? You changed it. I know you did. No, Ma,
Google did that. Well, you call Google and you tell them. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. I'm the mom.
That's amazing.
You've gone from Caitlin Stormbreaker to Lady Yells at Clouds.
No. It's Lady Go Fuck Yourself.
Lady Go Fuck Yourself. I appreciate that. My God.
Well, I suppose. Is there anything else? Anything else you guys wanted to chat about real quick? Or are we good?
Twinkie versus Nutty Buddy. Who wins?
Nutty Buddy.
Yeah, I was going to say Nutty Buddy, 100%.
Twinkies are bullshit.
Twinkies are bullshit and they're soft as fuck. Nutty Buddies will destroy them.
I mean, Swiss rolls are legit. If I could eat them. Like, we're talking about foods that I literally shouldn't be eating anyway. So, I mean, you know.
See, I was talking about them actually fighting in a ring.
Oh, you know, I see.
Because Nutty Buddies are like, they're cookies. They're hard cookies.
But Twinkies are immortal. Twinkies
are soft.
My brain immediately went to fucking BattleBots for some reason. And like the Nutty Buddy being like the swingy arms.
Nice.
Jesus Christ. The way my brain functions sometimes. Or doesn't.
Twinkies are immortal.
Twinkies are immortal and should not be consumed.
I mean, why do you think Woody Harrelson is... That's his only goal as a character in Z-Land or Zombieland or whatever. He just wants a Twinkie.
Oh my God. I was just thinking of Twinkies with you guys have played Vampire the Masquerade, right?
Yes.
I know of it. I've never played it.
You ever heard of Diablerie before? Where a vampire consumes another vampire to get power? That's what you think a Twinkie is supposed to be like.
Yep. That I accept that. That's canon.
The Greek gods come seeking ambrosia in Twinkies.
Yeah, the last time we played Vampire, I tried to diabolize the vampire we were fighting, and I died.
Oops.
I died real hard, like real fucking hard.
Did we try to eat an antediluvian?
I'm not sure what he was.
Literally biting off a little more than you could chew there, yeah?
Literally. Yep. No, I rolled very poorly and our game master rolled very well.
You betrayed me, you bastards.
Well, I'm dead. Like, you're not technically dead. You're a ghoul now, so.
Oh man. You're an animist. You can put your dice in timeout and tell them bad dice.
Oh, believe me, I believe in talking to my dice. And like, if they're rolling bad for me, I'm like, guys, come on, I need your help. And then I'm like rolling real good for a while. And then I look at my characters and they're like, oh my God, no, we're all going to die. And I'm like, all right, guys, tone it down a bit. And then they start rolling bad again. So it
just reminds me that that TikTok sound like, you better fix my life, you little shit.
You make the goblin dopamine feel good. They track shinies.
Oh, Christ. My brain just switched you into a goblin.
That's going to be my next character when I get a chance to be a player character. If anybody wants another player character, maybe a little goblin girl.
Yeah, I got nothing else programmed. I'm just here enjoying myself.
Well, we'll let you. I know you haven't eaten dinner yet, Saren. So we're gonna call this one a show. But thank you everybody for listening. And you know, hey, I'm gonna turn this around, put you guys on the spot. What are your goals for 2023? What are you proud of? Leave us a voicemail. Leave us some feedback. Other than that, we're going to be around for another season here, and we're looking forward to a lot of really interesting shows. And I don't know. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
Seriously. This show is a blessing on our lives.
And you guys are a blessing for us.
And so until next time, when we see you around the fire.
all about our work.
Good dog.